Well, it's good to be saved this morning. If you'd stand with us, we'll honor the reading of the Word of God found in the book of Genesis, chapter number 6 today. The book of Genesis, chapter number 6. I appreciate the old-time singing. I don't care much for singing, but I do like singing. A lot of difference in singing and singing. I'd hate to know I was in a church where you had to hit every note and you got tripped on your choir gown. Somebody say amen. Lord, I'm glad I'm in an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing church this morning. A lot of difference in whipping and whooping. A lot of difference in time out and whooping. Somebody say amen. I wish my daddy was in the time out business. He never did think much of time out. He'd just take time out to do business. Book of Genesis, chapter number 6. The Bible said, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply." It don't take long when you get a crowd of folks together that they go to acting crazy. Somebody say amen. He said it wasn't having too much problem with folks till they went to multiplying. Matter of fact, the early church didn't have no problems, so they went to multiplying. He said it came, you know, there's a lot of folks that they go to a church that's a swelling. And if your church is swelling, that means that it's dead. I seen a coyote on the side of the road the other day. Now, he was a swelling because he is dead. I don't want to be in a swelling church. I want to be in a growing church. And so he said that when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, must be another side of it. I could have saved them boys a long boat trip if they'd just read their Bible. Matter of fact, said the daughters was born unto them that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, they were fair. And it ain't nothing wrong with little boys. You may be seated this morning. It ain't nothing wrong with little boys looking at little girls being goo-goo-eyed. Amen. Matter of fact, it bothers me when they're not goo-goo-eyed. So if you got a little boy's girl crazy, don't let that offend you. That's been going around a long time. Just be sure that you teach them to stay on what side of the seat. Amen. And so I'd hate to know I had a little boy that wouldn't goo-goo-eyed over a girl. I won't park right there just a minute. I'm raising a little grandboy, so you just mind your business and I'll mind mine. I've done taught him how to spit. Every little country boy needs to know how to spit right. Amen. And, you know, we do that, ride little horsey down to town. Whoops, little horsey, we all fall down. I just throw him down in the floor. I say, get you some of that, boy. Make a real boy out of you, amen. And so I want to slide him around in the gravel every chance we get. Not going to be long. We'll go down to Barnes Store. Somebody say amen right there. Going to get him some camo overall and some Rocky boots, amen. Hardly wait till he can get a shotgun and we can go a-hunting. What real boys ought to do, amen. And get him a set of Callaway golf clubs. Somebody say amen right there. And so I can hardly wait till I get to enjoying him. Amen. But anyway, don't think that it's strange if you young'uns love the opposite sex. That's the way it ought to be. Just because our politicians are confused don't mean our Bible's confused. And marriage still between one man and one woman. He didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. And so you better be sure. I just won't let you know what side of the fence I'm on this morning. I'd hate for somebody to leave saying, "What'd that preacher mean this morning?" Well, I tell you what I mean. I mean that the Bible's still relevant in the day, in the hour that we live. The Bible said in verse 3, and the Lord said, you better take attention of that, high note of that, that my spirit shall not always strive with man. And he says, for that he also's flesh, underline this, we'll be there in a minute, because his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and they some giants here today, which we live, some big giants. You say, well, preacher, I can handle anything. Well, you wait till that giant comes down there where you live, and be careful. Don't say, my kids won't do that, and my kids won't do this, or my cousin won't do this, or my auntie won't do this. I tell you what, you better realize, is we all human this morning. And oh my, if it wasn't for the grace of God, for the giants in these days, giants of addiction, boy, they're real today. And the Bible said, and also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and I have a thought on that, but I don't have time to go into it, that they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. God saw, guess what, he's still a-looking. He saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil and continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I'll destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man, beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I've made them. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Father, I bless you today. I sure do need your help preaching. I'm a needy preacher this morning. And I ask you to fill me. God, I pray you'd spill me in this place this morning. Help us, Lord, in my feeble ways to be a blessing to your people. If it be one here that know not you, I pray you'd draw them by your amazing grace and you'd save them. Thank you for this good day. It's the Lord's day. You've told us, let us be glad in it. So, Lord, help us now in the preaching of the Word of God. Thank you for these good people that's come today. I pray you'd give us a blessing for being here. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. We've thought about in the days gone by in the form of a series. I don't preach many series, but we've been dealing with some Bible character. We talked once about, oh my, the things of Daniel. And boy, what a day to be a Daniel, one that would pray with the windows open. And then we talked about not only that day of Daniel, but the need to be a Nehemiah, how we need a burden in the hour and day that we live. This morning I want to preach on this subject of what a note to be Noah. You'll notice here Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now you'll notice first of all in chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, there was a passionate grief. He said in verse 6, he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. You see, when we make mistakes and we do things that's not pleasing to the Lord, we not only affect ourselves and affect others, but I believe we affect the God that's a-looking about. The Bible said that the sin grieved God within his heart. Now, when Noah lived, he lived in a time, you'll notice in verses 1 through 2, where there were evil marriages. The Bible said the sons of God saw the daughters of men. They were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. I can't express you today enough about the importance of a godly marriage. And letting God. I'll give you young men some of the best advice I know to give you today. If you'll do like Adam, simply go to sleep and let God send you your spouse. It'll all work out for the honor and the glory of God. But we live in a society and a culture where men just try on wives like a shoe store, amen? And there's not much more commitment in our marriage in the day and hour that we live. We say, well, preacher, you can't grow a church on that kind of preaching. Well, I can tell you this, honey, God is still for the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage. And I believe that it's still between a husband and a wife. And I believe our homes are sacred. What's happening to our nation is our homes are crumbling because preachers have quit saying what thus saith the word of God. And our church, Brother Marlin, our church, Brother Jake, our church, Brother Gerald, will not be any stronger than what our homes are. And we need a very stable home in the day and hour that we live. Men was just going with anything, everything. The Bible says not to be unequally yoked together. I'm still old-fashioned to believe the Bible. And so I sure am glad God's given me a wife now for nearly 33 years. And it's worked, and it'll still work today. And I'm going to give you the best marriage counseling you'll ever hear. And I won't charge you $150 an hour. I'll tell you how to stay married. You got to want to be married more than you want to be apart. My wife's not perfect. And I'm a long way from it. And we hadn't had a big fuss lately. You can go and shake your little Baptist head too. But you know, this morning, you'll notice there was a passionate grief. It was evil marriages. In verse 4, it was evil might. The Bible said there were giants in the earth in those days. Great strongholds, great powers. Young people, listen to the man of God today. The man that's smoking two packs of Marlboro today, he started by smoking one. I got hooked on the things of this world, not because I didn't smoke one, because I did smoke one. And I'm going to tell you, it's no drunkard that become a drunkard overnight. Somewhere or the other, he took him a social drink. And you say, well, preacher, how can you build a church to preach on the abstinence of drinking? Well, honey, all I tell you is the door ain't locked this morning. Alcohol will get you in a world of trouble. And all of these nice commercials, it'll show you the pretty Clydesdale horses on the front, but it won't show you what I've seen on the backside of the billboard at 1 or 2 in the morning when a mom and daddy's called you to a bedside or to a morgue and raised the sheet of their loved one. Sin is real and sin is tough. And alcohol ought to be abandoned. They talk about gun control. I tell you what gun control is, having two hands on it. Amen. Ain't no gun kill nobody. People kill people. Well, why ain't they outlawing this liquor where they're running around killing our young'uns? Because I tell you why, it takes so much money out of the population. Now, you tree huggers, I can tell you right now, this country was founded on guns, guts, and God. And some of you little old liberals looked down when I said that. Well, what you gonna do? Get you a slingshot and keep them bunch of thugs out of your house off your young'uns? Guns don't kill people. People kill people. Why don't they outlaw alcohol? There's a young girl here today, my niece. Her daddy was killed by a drunk driver. Why ain't somebody trying to take a petition to shut down the liquor stores? Isn't it amazing, right off the doorstep of our church, they opened up a package store. Not in the old days. We had forefathers had guts enough and had gall enough to say, you ain't a pumping this mess in our community. Don't worry, I ain't running for politics. There's a passionate grief. It was mighty strongholds. It was evil marriages and evil might. And then there was evil morals in verse 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I hear this a lot. Well, I would be a Christian if I could live it. Well, I'd be a Big Mac if I could be a Big Mac. Honey, you can't live being a Christian, but greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We can't live by the law. The law is our schoolmaster. It shows us how wicked we are. That's why our politicians don't want the Ten Commandments in the schoolhouses or the courthouses. It reminds them of the dishonesty that's going on. Isn't it amazing when we don't pay our stuff into the government that it's a felony, but when they steal from us, they say it's politics? Well, ain't that something down in Bowden, Georgia this morning? I'm going to tell you today, we live in a sad hour. We live in a sad time when wickedness is running in ways like we never thought. Isn't it bad when I can't even let my grandbaby down in a Walmart store to go and play with a little toy, afraid some pervert come by and steal them and rob them and take the most precious things from a family? I'm going to tell you, the people of America better get back to God and get back in this Bible and realize ain't no one man going to fix this thing. It's going to take God's people on their face, humbly seeking after a sovereign God that can fix our land this morning. Little old babies. Some was kidnapped today that was with a mom and daddy yesterday. Now there's pedophiles running rampant. We're living in a culture and a society that's waxing worse and worse and worse. People, open up your eyes and open up your ears and realize this is the last days and Jesus is coming. Killing in our schools at a rate that is unbelievable. Some 55 million babies has been slaughtered in our country. We think we just sort of sit around in our Baptist churches and socialize. We want to complain about why churches are dying and why nobody's preaching no more. But boy, we find in the Bible what a note to be Noah. Lord, I'm just amazed at this man in my Bible. I like real men, don't you? One of the visitors told me this morning, I barely got a hold of his fingers. He said, "Preacher, shake my hand. I like a good handshake." Amen. I like that. I like that. Little Whitman, grandpa. Come here, son. Nick, come here to me. You tall and I'm giving you a hand, son. Look at when you say, "How you doing?" Look at folks in the eye and shake hands. Say, "How you doing, preacher?" That's good, son. You're doing good. We ought to be teaching our young'uns what's right and what's wrong. Boy, I'm going to tell you, Noah amazes me. What a note to be Noah. He's living in a society like ours where wickedness is rampant. We find not only do you see in the text verse that there is a passionate grief by God. It grieved Him at His heart. But number two, I sure am glad there was provided grace. I'm glad God's still saving old sinners. You'll notice this in verse number 8, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Can I tell you that Noah did not find grace, but God providentially shared His grace. Grace was not lost. But aren't you glad that in the eyes of God, He looked your way? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know what I've noticed? You won't find grace in the eyes of many people, but you'll always find grace in the eyes of the Lord. You'll notice this. I'll share a great Bible truth with you and then I'll move on. on this provided grace. You'll see, first of all, there's the way of grace. God bestowed it on him. It came from God. And that's the only place that you can get grace is from God. The Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of works. It is by grace how we get to heaven. The Bible said Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by Him. You'll not get there by a priest. You'll not get there by sacraments. You'll not get there by water baptism. You can only get there by Jesus, and that is the grace of God, an unmerited favor that He's bestowed upon us. I wasn't looking for God, but I sure am glad He was looking for me. I was smoking my weed, minding my own business, but I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad the Lord turned His head my way and looked at me and offered unto me eternal life. Found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Some of y'all need to realize living with each other, that's the way you're going to get along, is by grace. Oh, He didn't find law in the eyes of the Lord, but He did find grace. Watch your Bible. Watch this great truth now. The way of grace, but number two, the work of grace. The Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Can I tell you this? Before justice came, grace got there. Nobody can be justified, Brother Driver, without the grace of God. We were all guilty, but when grace came, He justified. That's a legal term. I'm glad He's declared me not guilty by the grace of God. A lot of people's trying to say, well, preacher, I've not done much. Yeah, but you've done enough to get you in hell this morning. For the wages of sin is death, and there's none good. No, not one. Oh, the way of grace, He found it in the eyes of the Lord. I'm glad the Lord's looking our way today. I'm glad you've not done too much wrong for the Lord to forgive you for it. And so the way of grace and the work of grace, can I remind you in Romans chapter number 3, I'll back up my point by Scripture, because if I can't back it up with Scripture, I need to leave it alone. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Being justified freely by His grace. Isn't it amazing it don't say that He was just, then He found grace in the eyes of the Lord? No, He found grace and He became just. And I sure am glad the way of grace, the work of grace, but then look at the walk of grace. The Bible said He was a just man, perfect in His generation. That means He was upright. And Noah walked with God. We found that another time beforehand with Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was not. Now, isn't it amazing here that the Bible's mentioned two have walked with God. One was with Enoch and one is with Noah. Now, the walk of grace. In Romans 5 and verse 20, you say, well, preacher, we can't walk and be a Christian. Look how wicked it is. Well, look in Romans 5 and verse number 20. There the Bible says this, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That is, sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, there is not only a passionate grief, it grieved God at His heart, but there is provided grace, the way of grace by the eyes of the Lord. The work of grace, He's declared innocent. And then the walk by grace. Aren't you glad they still some people can walk around through this old world and be a Christian? Can I tell you, Christians are not perfect. There's a lot of people, you know, they tickle me. They look at me and Miss Renee as the pastor, the preacher here, and they say, well, you know, they don't have no issue. Well, sure we got issues because we got flesh on us. And we're all saved by the same way, by the grace of God. And oh, this morning, let me tell you, if you're holding back from trying to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus, you always remember this. If you're waiting until you can live to be a Christian, you'll die and go to hell in your sins. But if you'll simply say, Lord, I can't do this, but I know You can. And I know that I can do this through You. I sure am glad that you can enter into Him this morning by this thing of grace through faith. I'm glad we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, we're not perfect. We're forgiven. And you know, He said He walked through this world by grace. That's what you're going to have to do. Some of you, I've already offended you by preaching. If a preacher, it would have to be the most miserable job in America. That when a preacher was done preaching, Brother Jeff, that he'd have to go before a committee to see if he made everybody happy. That would have to be the most difficult, the hardest job in America. I've offended some of you. You know why? Because you think too much of yourself. Every time I'm offended, it's because I thought too much of me. Let me help you something on jealousy. I've never been jealous of nobody behind me. So if you're jealous, it's because somebody's ahead of you. If we're going to be a Christian, we've got to walk by the grace of God. As for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, we ought to forgive one another. Brother Tim, if I offend you, I'm sorry. And I will apologize if I've wronged you. But you have no reason to fall out with me. You're to forgive me as for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If there's anybody here that's gone to sinless perfection, I sure would like to meet you because I would like to see a resurrected saint, Brother Jake. I can tell you the only way we're going to be sinless perfection is when we get our glorified body. We've all done had enough thoughts today to put us all in hell. But aren't you glad for the grace of God? And boy, when people wrong you, isn't it amazing that yesteryear you take a Felton Buchanan. Days gone by, somebody'd wrong him. It was on like Donkey Kong. You hear me? You take and you offend Brother Gerald Rollins. I remember the first time I seen Brother Gerald. He come through Bowden in a Jeep, and he's the biggest, burliest thing I've ever seen on him. I asked my wife, who's that big old boy in that Jeep going? She said, oh, that's Gerald Rollins. Lord, he was big enough to go bear hunting with a switch. Amen. But ain't it amazing when the grace of God comes in your life how you can forgive somebody? And folks, you're not going to walk and be a Christian unless you experience the grace of God. So Noah, what a note to be a Noah. We find in this text, we find this passionate grief that affected the heart of God. This provided grace. I'm glad Noah found grace. Glad he walked by grace amongst all of this wickedness. Let me tell you, young people, just because everybody in the high school is doing it don't mean you have to do it. Noah lived in a time with great wickedness just like us. You say, preacher, are we saved for an eternity once we're born again? The Bible says we're sealed to the day of redemption. But we don't have a license to sin. Brother Lee come up under doctrines. He don't mind sharing this with you. He shared it with me. He come up under doctrines once you got saved that, you know, you just got to stay so close or man, you may come undone. But aren't you glad by the grace of God He saves us forever? I'll never forget the day Brother Lee told me, he said, it was a wondrous day when I realized I was saved for eternity. Amen. There's none good, no, not one. Aren't you glad what Jesus does? He does forever. But I can tell you one thing about the doctrine Brother Lee come up from under. You didn't hear many Baptists giving in them churches a license to sin. Just because we saved don't mean we got a license to sin. Once we sin, I'm glad this verse is in there. He's faithful and just, if we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all. It's nothing like being right with God. And it's nothing no worse being wrong with God. We all make mistakes. We've all got our issues. But aren't you glad that there's an altar big enough to handle us all this morning? You say, preacher, I can't get in there. Well, make you one where you sit. Because the grace of God's big this morning. I'm glad. Aren't you glad that He takes throwbacks? You ever done something somebody was done with you? I mean, I've had people say, I'm done with you. Aren't you glad He's never told you He's done with you? I don't care what you've done this morning. He's not done with you. The grace of God can do anything today. Now, we see this in closing. I want to share this with you. Not only this passionate grief and this provided grace, but look at this personal grant. In chapter 6, verse number 10, Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. A personal grant. There was a promise. Verse 13, God said, the end of all flesh is come before me. Then there's patience. God is a God of judgment. Did you know that He's so long-suffering? God is so patient. Did you notice I had you to underline it in chapter 6, verse 3? He give them a deadline when He is going to do stuff. He marked it on the calendar. He said 120 years, this thing's going to be up. God is patient. In 1 Peter 3 and verse number 20, I want to tell you, I find in my Bible God is still patient. In 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 20, watch this. The Bible said, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few that is eight souls were saved by water. What are you talking about? I'm going to tell you how patient God is. God said in 2 Peter 2 and verse number 5, I want you to watch this, 2 Peter 2 and 5, how patient He is. He said this, and He spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You know how patient God is and how pitiful God is. He sent him a preacher for 120 years. And you know what his message was? The Bible said he's a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, he cried, God's fixing to wind this thing up. And you know what they done to him? Just like they do today, they ignore it. Oh, preacher, you really believe that? Well, I believe the Bible. Jesus is coming. And you know, this takes me to another point on there's a personal grant. Look in, if you would, over there in chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 17, this personal grant, look what he said. And behold, I do bring a flood. He didn't say he was going to send it. He said he is going to bring it with him. Can I tell you, God's going to bring judgment on this world? The Bible says in the book of Malachi, chapter number 4, it's going to burn as an oven. Why are you working so hard for things that's going to burn up? There's so many of you this morning. You know what I've got on my desk there at the house? It's a stack of insurance documents about this tall. You know, they're all due at the same time. You know why? Because I've got insurance on them. Why would you pay insurance on something that you're ultimately going to lose, but you won't put insurance on your soul? Why would you think more of a home or a boat or a car than you do your soul? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his only soul? This morning I want to share this with you. Not only this personal grant, but I sure am there was a presented gospel. Chapter 7, verse 1. The Bible said in verse 22, Noah built the ark. I don't have time to go through that. But I can tell you this, it was 450 foot long, 70 foot, 5 foot wide, and 45 foot tall. You could put 520 railroad cars in the middle of the ark. It would hold that many railroad cars. It was a huge, huge floating coffin is what it looked like. Now, he took the animals in two by two. Has it ever dawned on you he had to gather enough food in there that's in that thing for nearly a year? How much he had to work and gather to do that? So he's building. Everybody's making fun of him. People's making fun of you being a Christian. Young people, they're making fun of you going to church. Why, you go to church on Sunday? Really? You go to church on Sunday? Well, look in something, Genesis 7. And the Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thy house. Aren't you glad the gospel message today still says come instead of go? Amen. There's an invitation, then there's an indication. I'm glad he said thou and all thy house. And let me tell you, there's inspiration there. He still says come and not go. Aren't you glad that you can get in the ark of safety this morning? And that ark is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I finish with this point, and I want to share it with you, and I think I got Bible to back it up. Not only the passionate grief, not only the provided grace, I'm glad He found it in the eyes of the Lord. Not only a personal grant and a presented gospel, He said, okay, come on in now. But lastly, there's a painful grievance. I think it bothered Noah. And I want to tell you why I think it bothered Noah. Did you notice this verse I read? And you hold your place, but I read it a while ago in 2 Peter 2 and 5. Some of you may have caught it. The Bible said he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person. Why did he say that? Why did he say that he saved or spared Noah, the eighth person? Well, there's a painful grievance. Let me ask you something. If you'd preached for 120 years, there was eight people saved. There was his three children, their spouses. It was Miss Noah and him. Said the eighth person saved. Now, if I've been preaching 120 years, Brother Paul, I just wonder with this. Before I went into the ark, I wonder, Brother Mike, would I have stopped and let my family in and turned around and said, surely there'll be others that come. Surely it'll be somebody else that will come in. Surely somebody's heard this gospel message and wants to be saved. I mean, it's done clouded up. Can I tell you outside at Liberty Church, it's done clouded up. Can I tell you, God's done said what's coming. And can I tell you, He's got an ark of safety today, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But I see a grievance on a preacher that's preached 120 years. He hadn't won nobody but his family. But what an honor to win your family. And I want to show you the text verse that'll hook this that I think can back it up, that he's the eighth person saved. He's the last one to go in. Notice this. The Bible said in Genesis chapter number 7 and verse 16, and they that went in male and female of all flesh as God had commanded him. And watch, and the Lord shut him in. If he had went in first and it had shut him in, the other seven wouldn't have got in. Miss Julie, I want you to come and sing this morning. But the eighth person that was saved was Noah. And when he walked in, the Lord shut him in. What are you saying, preacher? I think it would grieve any Christian to think that there'd be friends that wouldn't go to heaven with them. Now you think about it. Brother Lee, they may have laughed at him. No doubt they did. It had never rained before. There was a mist come up from the heart of the earth. They didn't know what a thundercloud was. But he said, there's a coming judgment. It's going to rain. They'd come by and laugh at him. Well, they'd make fun of him. Could you imagine his kids at school? They'd laugh at him and say, your daddy's that old preacher. He's so old-fashioned and believes that. He's got y'all carrying wood after school building that ark. What's your daddy thinking? Let me tell you what their daddy was thinking. He was thinking right, Brother Larry. He was thinking what God said is going to happen. And let me tell you, church, this morning, there's a payday someday. I'm glad Jesus is the gift of eternal life. A lot of you may wonder why I linger at invitations or why I do things. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I wasn't concerned for you. Oh, if I just was in the entertainment business, I wouldn't worry about offending you and taking a stand that goes against me and my family and this church. But I'm going to stand before God one day, and I'm going to give an account. You may be in hell because you have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, but I've told you the story this morning. And I've told you the truth. You say, well, Pastor, I want to know something. How can I be saved? Preacher, I believe in God. I believe there was a Jesus. Preacher, I believe there's a heaven and a hell, but I've never been saved. I want to know. I'm confused. How can I know? He said, well, I write these things unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. As many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. You've got to receive Christ as your personal Savior. My children aren't going to heaven because I'm a preacher. We're all individuals. We all stand even at the foot of the cross. Have you ever been saved? Has it ever been a time when the Spirit of God, and He said He will not always strive with man, has it ever been a time that the Spirit of God has convicted you of your sin? And at that time you turned to Christ and you came to Him by faith in your own way. I've seen some come weeping. I've seen some come simply kneel and ask Christ to come into their life. But this I do know, in order for us to go to heaven, we must go through the blood of Jesus Christ. He is the ark of safety. You say, preacher, it's bad outside. Yeah. But let me tell you. You say, preacher, it's even bad in the church. Well, let me tell you. It's a lot better inside than it was outside. Preacher, I'm having a hard time. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Jesus is coming. Are you going to meet Him? Are you going to stand there ready? You say, well, preacher, this is a new day, a new era. Yeah, but the gospel message hadn't changed. You must be born again. You must be born again. The most religious man in the Bible came to Jesus by night. You know what He told the most religious man, Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again.